So we read first in Jeremiah chapter 14, page 925 and verse 10. Thus saith Jehovah to this people, even so have they loved to wander, they have not refrained their feet, and Jehovah hath no delight in them. Now will he remember their iniquity and visit their sins. And then turn to Luke chapter 15 and verse 3. And he spoke to them this parable, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep and having lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And having found it, he lays it upon his own shoulders, rejoicing. Being come to the house, calls together the friends and neighbours, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my lost sheep. I say unto you that thus there shall be joy in heaven for one repenting sinner more than 90, for 99 righteous who have no need of repentance. And then Amos, page 1105, Amos chapter 8 and verse 11. Behold, days come, saith the Lord Jehovah, when I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread or a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of Jehovah. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north to the east, they shall run to and fro to seek the word of Jehovah, and shall not find it. I was wanting to say a wee bit about wandering, dear friends. I'm not going to spend an awful lot of time on Jeremiah. We're going to spend more time in Luke 15. But the state of the world today is a state of wandering, dear friends. Aimless wandering. I don't have any leaders, really. I don't have any hope in the world. The general state of things is just a wandering state with no real sense of direction. We're reading about the children of Israel in the past day and how they chose not to go into the land which Joshua and Caleb could say a very, very good land. But no, they didn't want to go into the land. They listened to the report of the other 10 and they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. People would rather wander, dear friends, aimlessly wander with no hope and no direction, than to accept the glad tidings, dear friends. That wonderful pointer to the one that is the direction that we want to go in. That blessed one, the Lord Jesus, who died on Calvary's cross. That's the one that we want to seek after tonight, dear friends. That's the one that I want to point you to. That one that we speak of in Luke 15. The one who was as a man, who was as this great shepherd, this good shepherd, dear friends, who laid down his life for his sheep. Speaks here about what man of you, having 100 sheep and having lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that was lost. Well, that's what the Lord Jesus did, dear friends. He went after the lost sheep. What a way he went to find that lost sheep. And the question that I want each one of us in this room, as we go right down to the very youngest in this room, I want to ask you, are you that lost sheep tonight? Are you that sheep that has wandered away from the shepherd's tender care and is out there in the wilds? Well, the shepherd is going after you tonight. He's seeking you. He's looking for you. Will you let him find you tonight, dear friends? Will he let him find you and take you up in his arms and carry you home? That shepherd is the Lord Jesus. That shepherd is the Son of God who left the glory's highest heights to come into this earth, come onto this earth, and to live here as a perfect man. He went in through this scene in all his perfection, dear friends. Sinless, blameless Son of God to go to Calvary's cross in order to answer to that righteous claim of God, that righteous requirement of God, in order that we might be set free from our sins, the Lord Jesus had to go to Calvary. What a way you had to go, dear friend, in order to do this. And you know, as wandering through this scene here, it's very easy, especially I would say in our younger years, whenever we're very vulnerable to the attacks of the devil. Mm-hmm. The devil is very, very active in your younger years to try and make you wander, to try and cause you to take your eyes off the Lord Jesus. For the Lord Jesus, although appealing to you tonight, he's appealing to your heart, he's pleading with you to accept him as your own personal Savior. Amen. On the other side of that, we have an enemy who is urgently trying to distract you, to try and pull you from that pathway, that straight and narrow pathway. He is desperately trying to take your focus off Christ. And that wayward way, that wilderness path, dear friends, has got a certain amount to attract the natural eye. It all looks good. It all looks attractive. It all looks appealing to us, as we would see it from the natural point of view. But it is empty. It's barren. It's waste. There's nothing in it to satisfy you. There's nothing in it that will give you any pleasure. But it is appealing. I remember, just to use a little illustration, I remember once we bought a few cattle to graze some of the fields around the mill. And we bought five older ones that were mature, contented, and put them out into the field. And they grazed happily. And we bought four more younger stock, younger bullocks. And they were just out of a house and had never grazed before. And we put them out as well into the field. And there was plenty of grass, and there was plenty of good meal, and there was everything to try and attract, to satisfy. You would think that they should be satisfied. But as soon as we put the four into the field, the four bolted and escaped and did a runner and disappeared into the wilds. And we spent a few hours chasing them. We got them back in again, closed them into a smaller space. And the next morning, the four wild ones had escaped again and had disappeared. Now, we got three of them back, but one of them was still missing. We didn't recover it for about 8 or 9 months. And it was probably out in the boglands for the whole winter. But these animals were in a state where there was good surroundings, there was good conditions. And they would rather jump over wire, get themselves scratched, have no food, go wild, because they weren't content with what they were at. And in our pathway here, everybody in this room has been brought up in a Christian home. They have the environment around them where the Lord Jesus has the foremost place in the houses, and he's chief in the hearts of our parents. And sometimes the world will have its lure. Mm-hmm. Let me assure you, dear friends, that there is nothing in this world that will give you any satisfaction. Mm-hmm. Nothing in this world that will give you any pleasure. Mm-hmm. Yes, it might give you temporary pleasure. But dear friends, when you come home at night, that will all fade. Mm-hmm. And there will be nothing in it for you. Mm-hmm. But the things that we speak of tonight, the things that this lamb was brought into, this sheep was brought into, the things that we would speak of that you're brought into as in coming to the Lord. Mm. Oh, the eternal pleasures that's there. Mm. As we come into the knowledge of our sins forgiven. Mm. As we come into the knowledge of our Lord Jesus as our Lord. We're brought into eternal things and response and praise and worship that is eternal. That will give us eternal blessings, dear friends. That is what I would point you to tonight. Point you to the blessed Lord, that one who will attract you. Mm-hmm. That one who has fully completed all that was set out for him to do. Mm-hmm. And he would have you go on that pathway that Paul would speak of as he speaks to the Philippians. Where he says, forgetting the things behind, stretching out to the things before, I pursue, looking towards the goal for the prize of the calling on high of God in Christ Jesus. Yes, dear friends, your wayward feet, so that wandering that would see you, that would try and distract you from that blessed one. Oh, fix your eyes on the Lord Jesus, the one who shed his blood, the one who died on Calvary's cross, the one who went into death and bore, one in those 3 hours of darkness, bore God's judgment for sin. Oh, the greatness of what the Lord Jesus went through in those 3 hours of darkness, that we might be free, that we might be brought into liberty, that we might know salvation, that we might be able to be spotless in the sight of a holy and righteous God. The Lord Jesus took sin upon himself. He was made sin. Oh, the greatness of the sacrifice of that blessed, spotless, blameless Lamb of God. That one, the Son of God. Blameless, spotless, pure. And yet he took sin, the whole sin question upon himself. Oh, dear friends, as we ponder that for a moment, what it was for the Son of God to come into this world, to take up manhood's form, with the knowledge that he would take sin, would go on to Calvary's cross. He would be rejected by all around him. You could say even, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Oh, the greatness of the what the Lord Jesus had to endure, that blessed one, that perfect one, what it was for him. We could not contemplate what it would be, dear friends, to not have the blessed Saviour in our hearts. Oh, I would beseech each one of you in this room to turn to that Saviour, that one that we know and love, the Lord Jesus, the one who went into death, who lay in the grave, but who burst the grave, who broke death's power, and who is now ascended, risen and ascended, and at the Father's right hand. What a one we have to present tonight, dear friends. That blessed one, that spotless, that precious blessed one. He loves you. He loves you so much tonight that he has brought you into this sphere, the sphere of the gospel. And he would appeal to you that you would not wander, that you would not make yourself distance yourself from him, but that you would commit yourself fully to him. In every way, commit yourself to that blessed one. Firstly, having that knowledge of your sins forgiven and being freed from the burden of sin, and then living here for him. Setting your sights on that goal, pursuing the things that are of interest to him, and living here for that blessed Saviour, for your Lord. That is what he would appeal to you tonight, dear friends. We think of the warning there is in the gospel. How I think it's important as we present the glad tidings. Great news it is. Great news from heaven it is. That the Lord Jesus has completed the work that we set out for him to do. That it is all finished. But there's a warning in the gospel, dear friends. That a day will come whenever the gospel preaching will end. And the one that we point to tonight will no longer be available. The day of grace will be over. Any moment. Could be tonight. Well, those of us that love him are longing for the day when we'll see him. And we'll be caught up to be with him. What a prospect there is for the believer. That we will be with our Saviour and Lord for all eternity. We will be with him in his presence to worship him, to glorify him for all eternity. What a wonderful prospect. But the warning of the gospel is severe, dear friends. That if we reject him, if we continue with our wanderings, and we do not accept the Lord Jesus as our Saviour, then if the moment comes that we're called from this world, that our day in this life, our life is ended, and we are either pass on through death, or whether the Lord Jesus comes first, if we're not ready to go to your friends. It's a harsh warning that it is a very, very serious outlook for the unbeliever. Oh, I would just appeal to you tonight, dear friends, do not be in that position. The only way you can be sure that you will be saved for all eternity is to turn to the Lord tonight. Do not delay. Do not put it off. Do not procrastinate. Because, dear friends, that wayward path, that wandering pathway that you may be on, speaking from my own limited experience, there's always something there to take you a little further off the path. There's always something there that seems more appealing than the last. There's always something there that makes you want to drift on. But dear friends, if you commit yourself to the Lord Jesus, if you find yourself here in the pathway, following him, seeking to be for him in this pathway here, serving him, oh, the joy that will fill your heart, the greatness of that, the reward that will be yours is greater than we can ever attempt to try and comment on tonight. So, dear friends, that's really all I have to say. I just would appeal to you again that before this day is over, that you would just give your heart to the Lord, accept him as your Saviour, trust in him, be here for him in the little time that's left till he comes, for his name's sake. Amen.